News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Late last night, I spoke to Susan Mitchell, health editor with the Sunday Business Post. I think one of the few people covering this story who's looked at it, the whole story, and got the whole story from start to finish. I began by asking Susan if she was surprised at the recommendations from Dr. Scally that, in his view, there was no need for a committee or investigation.
I'm not wholly surprised. Now, as I understand it, it's not a recommendation. So what they've been saying today, or certainly what Minister for Health Simon Harris has said, is that this is a personal view that's expressed by Dr. Scally in the report. But I think, first of all, we have to remember that initially Dr. Scally and his team were due to report at the end of May, and they spent obviously a lot longer on doing this preliminary inquiry. And if he feels that he has gotten to the bottom of what actually transpired in cervical check, then what is the point of having a commission of investigation? Now, I say that having not read his report, because obviously it hasn't been published. Elements of it have gotten into the public domain, but I haven't seen it myself. But having followed the story and having seen what unfolded and examined some of the documents that were provided to the Public Accounts Committee and the Oireachtas Health Committee, and I listened to testimony given by Tony O'Brien, to interviews done by the former clinical director of cervical check itself, I'm not wholly surprised, because, to be honest, it never seemed to me like there was some kind of a cover-up going on. I should say there was, and I'm quoting a Taoiseach here who said we need to find out whether there was a cover-up or a cock-up.
The government is in somewhat of a difficult situation here, Susan, because both the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health had committed to a commission of investigation before the publication of the Scally report. What should they do now?
I hope that they take some time to reflect on what Dr. Scally has said, because at the end of the day, he is the expert, an international expert, who was brought in to examine this. He's not a man who is known for pulling his punches. You know, he was involved in a very big investigation in the north recently, fell out with people, including people who he would have trained with as a doctor. So this isn't someone who shies away from making, you know, difficult decisions or harsh criticisms. And if he is recommended against a commission, well, I think that the government have to seriously consider that. I think what you said there about the government making this commitment beforehand, in retrospect, it was a premature thing to do, because what's the point in having a preliminary inquiry if you're already saying that you're going to then have a commission of investigation afterwards?
The other interesting leak from the report is the finding from Dr. Scally that the existing labs are meeting their quality assurance standards. What is the significance of that for the listener?
I think that's hugely important, because one of the things that we really didn't have assurances about or confidence in was the quality of the labs that we were using. And obviously there was a lot of criticism when a decision was made to outsource some of the screening, the cervical check screening program, to private laboratories, and indeed to private laboratories based in the United States. And questions and concerns were raised about that at the time. And there has been, I suppose, a narrative that has developed that we've been using these cheap labs and maybe they weren't up to scratch and doing a proper job. There's also been claims that, you know, there's been huge negligence involved in very many of the cases. And these are the cases that we know of where smear tests were reviewed, and on review, a discordant or a different result was then found. So I think it's hugely significant for people, because I think people will be able to have confidence, or should be able to have confidence, in the screening program going forward. Now, what it won't do, and it's important to say that, is, as I understand it, Dr. Scally was examining the operation, the tendering, the quality assurance mechanisms, etc., that the different laboratories that we use have. And we use three at the moment, the Coombe MedLab in Sandyford and a US-based lab. But what it doesn't do is get into the individual cases that I just mentioned there, Shane, you know, the 221 cases. those individual cases are going to be examined by the Royal College of Gynaecology, which is doing an examination, has already started, I believe, an examination of each and every case. And I think that part of the jigsaw has, you know, we've yet to see what they're going to determine and what they will come back with those individual cases. According to the Irish Times report, Dr. Scally says that there's no problems that he found with the existing labs that we are using today or at present, and he recommends that we continue using them.
You've been critical of some of the coverage in the media and the politicising of this story in the past, but given what we now know of this report, and I accept we still have to read the full report, but what lessons do you believe should be learned and have we learned from the past 3 months?
I think you could probably do a thesis on this. It's how not to handle a health crisis, really. And I think I don't think you can single out any, you know, one profession or group of individuals for blame. I think the communications from the health service from the get-go were poor. I don't think there was enough clarity brought to the difference between screening and a diagnostic test. Screening is not infallible, as you know, I don't think that was made clear from the outset or from the get-go. I think there were knee-jerk reactions from politicians. I think some of the opposition politicians made inflammatory comments throughout this whole debacle. I don't know whether that was because they were misinformed or exactly why they made them, but I'd hope that they might reflect on them, because I think that they added and fueled a lot of public angst. And I don't think that the government handled it very well. I think the Minister for Health, Simon Harris, his offer, for example, just to give you one example of giving women or offering women an additional smear, I think that undermined or threatened to could have undermined confidence in the programme. That was not done on the back of medical advice from cervical check or from the health service. This was a decision, it was a knee-jerk political decision, and I think it was unhelpful. And hopefully the publication of the report tomorrow will bring some balance to the debate or to the discussion.